Welcome everyone to the Damage Report, the last day of the week. Thank God, the last day, as I said in the pre-show, of the last full week of the Trump administration. We have just days left to go. We'll see if they're good or if they're bad. He can still, like, any one of these days, you know what? I was gonna say any day, but really it's Fridays. Fridays, they tend to dump big things thinking that people will forget about it. So, Brett Ehrlich is here. Hey, Brett Ehrlich, host of the Happy Half Hour. Are you too worried that this might be the day of the pardons?
Nice attempt to save it, John. What am I, chopped liver? You're supposed to say, welcome. Can I get you a drink? No.
Can I get you a coffee? Can I get you some Lucky Charms? Can I get you anything?
John, how many feet off camera is a giant bowl of Lucky Charms? Show us.
It's not a foot. It's close to a foot. This desk is getting more and more full of stuff. I've added a second monitor again since I've given up on being able to see a co-host. I've got Trashy up here. I've got Lucky Charms. I cannot move for all of the things on this desk. But anyway, I'm a little bit worried about that. We're gonna see if there's breaking news during the show. But first of all, give us a preview, Brett. What's going on the TYT network after this show?
After this show, I don't know what's happening right after your show. Usually there's some kind of Twitch phenomenon named Jordan Yule, but you might have to wait until, excuse you, people drag racing down my street. Jesus. You will have to wait an entire few more hours to see Jordan Yule. It'll be John Iadarola, Jordan Yule, and Kenjamin Klippenstein. I've decided it's Kenjamin
Klippenstein. I forgot that's who we had today. It is the most online power panel perhaps ever.
Yeah.
I'm the least online of a whole panel. That's weird.
I genuinely don't know what to expect out of it. Just a bunch of like.
Probably like how most people, they came into the show and then they don't know what to expect for the rest because of how weird it's been. You all think that there was nothing else for us to lose as we go farther into the pandemic, but we're falling more apart. We're eating cereal, maybe on camera now. We'll see. I'd like to start eating cereal.
You could, John. I'm wearing a shirt you gave me that is real nipple chafy.
Sorry about that. Don't DNA. Run 5K in it.
You know, John, you get Christmas presents like this, as well as the Dwight, you ignorant whatever, that I have to hide whenever we do a Skype interview with a high profile politician.
Yeah, that's a good call. Anyway, so everyone look forward to that.
Second hour is gonna be Anna, Malaika Jabali, and Lance from the Serfs going into post game. So it's a really awesome power panel today. And then if you like deathmatch Thunderdome style showdowns, you're really gonna enjoy Common Room tonight because it's Brett Ehrlich, who I hear is so handsome today, J.R. Jackson from the Young Turks, and then Marissa and Sophie,
what?
From Damage Report. It's gonna be a no holds barred throwdown, but socially distanced.
So that's awesome. What I love is that neither of them mentioned this to me.
Yeah,
I made that. My two left and right hand women are gonna be on the show, and they were just so coy about it, so casual, whatever. Like whatever. You know, we try to one up Brett and JR all the time. Anyway, definitely look forward to that. And you'll get to see two of the amazing women that help make this show what it is every single day. So that should be awesome. And you know what else is gonna be awesome, but less awesome? This show, which we're now about to launch into. We got a ton of news, updates on people being arrested for the Capitol violence. We've got Biden's rescue package. So we're gonna talk about that. We've got massive dumps. That should be fun. Biden's about to be impeached. And what is gonna be left of the White House by the time Biden gets in there? We'll have a little debate about that. But that said, thank you everybody who's already here. Please hit the like button and share the stream if you haven't already so that people know we're live. And as we go through these stories, you can send us messages, tweets, super chats, and things like that, and we'll respond as we go. Oh, heads up to our tier three YouTube members. If you didn't get the live notification for the first monthly Q&A, it is now up on the channel. You can go view it. And if you have additional questions, you can post them in the comments and I will answer those. I know that not everybody could be there for the live thing, but I hope that you enjoy that first Q&A for our level three members. In any event, Brett, you ready to do this thing? You wanna jump into some news?
Yeah, and thanks Sparkle Dragon for the biddies.
That's very nice, Sparkle Dragon, thank you. Okay, with that, let's talk about this.
Thank you, Sparkle.
The last of the most high profile on camera attackers at the Capitol are slowly being found and being charged. And we've got one of the big ones. Peter Steger has been arrested at his home in Conway after reportedly beating a police officer with an American flag during the Capitol riot on January 6th. So if you don't remember this, this is one of the particular cases that we've talked about a good bit. Here's a bit of video showing you what actually happened.
Sir,
death is the only remedy for what's in that building.
Including Peter Steger, charged with civil disorder for beating a Capitol police officer with a flagpole as he was dragged down the Capitol steps.
Okay, so just to be clear as we go forward, for all the people, including Fox hosts that make $30 million a year, the idea that this wasn't an insurrection, that it just got out of hand a little bit, it wasn't a big deal, nobody needs to be scared. That guy who tried to beat a cop to death with the American flag, he was saying beforehand, death is the only answer for what's in there. So we're gonna see some of these people still denying that this was everything that we saw that it was. But he has now been arrested. In his defense, he says that he didn't know the man he was hitting was a cop. He thought the person he was striking was Antifa, because you're allowed to murder Antifa. Also, it was a cop. And I want to show you just a little bit more video where the actual officer who was being hit describes what actually happened. It makes it pretty hard to maintain a belief that this guy didn't know he was beating a cop.
There's pulling my badge off my chest. They ripped my radio off of off my vest. Started pulling like ammunition magazines from their holder on my belt, and then some guys started getting a hold of my gun, and they were screaming out, "Kill him with his own gun." At that point, it was just like self-preservation. How do I survive this situation? And I thought about, using deadly force. I thought about shooting people. And then I just came to the conclusion that, if I was to do that, I might get a few, but I'm not going to take everybody. And they'll probably take my gun away from me. And that would definitely give them the justification that they were looking for to kill me.
Okay, so that's terrifying. And again, that's the sort of cop's direct account that you are not going to see, I'm assuming, on Tucker Carlson. Makes it a little bit harder for him to pretend that it was just Antifa or they were just getting a little bit rowdy. Boys will be boys, whatever. Also, I love the cops, totally. Now I'm gonna forget about that cop that the people that I broadcast to were trying to murder after stripping him of all of his cop stuff. And then they pretend that they didn't know he was a cop. Anyway, we got more on this, Brett, but what do you think so far?
It's just a question of priorities, and so many people's priorities are as far from achieving justice in America as they can conceivably be. All of them are, I hate to be cynical, but all personally motivated are arguments of convenience to keep people exactly where they are and how they are. So as you said, Tucker Carlson and people on anyone but that Fox interview really, and even or that CNN interview, are essentially just maintaining this fantasy that everyone on the right is good and everyone on the left is bad, rather than going through the arguments of the people protesting. Like at a very fundamental level, everyone out there outside the Capitol building is absolutely bonkers and detached from reality. They are all pretending that they won an election that they lost by 7 million. And then someone's like, well, that's like saying you got the most passes in a football game. The Electoral College is like the points in the football game. Fine. Mm-hmm. The margin of victory in the Electoral College is the same landslide margin to the number that Trump said he won in a landslide by in 2016. Yep. Everyone out there is crazy. Now, if you look at Black Lives Matter protesters, and the reason I say this is because Fox News is always like, obviously there's a lot of tape of Fox News saying that all these Black Lives Matter protesters are godless communist murderers. At least the heart, even if I also agree that violence is bad in any protest, right? But at the heart of their argument is something that's provably true, that police kill Black people in higher numbers, that and we have video of that. And we have no video, we have no evidence. And in a court of law, there's no evidence. In the venue where they're supposed to present the evidence, they still haven't, for the steal of the election. So all of their fantasies are just that, fantasies. And they continue to crumble minute by minute, as proven there. Their fantasy that this group of protesters is on the right is just against corruption? No, they're trying to, and that they support the police? No, they tried to beat the police to death. And even that police officer at the end was asked, of that very interview we just saw, was asked, what are your messages for the people that essentially stepped in to protect you from the folks in the crowd that were beating you? He said, thank you. But in all honesty, what the F were you doing there?
100%. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
What are you doing there? You're there. And I talked to a friend of mine, her husband's a police officer, and they're passing that video around. And they're like, these folks are crazy. They hate the protesters. But that is just the good cops. Because as we discover, there are bad cops in there. And there's a great story right now going around from, I think, Mother Jones or BuzzFeed News. Maybe they're citing each other, but pointing out that there's black cops that are saying, no, we knew that this was happening. Obviously, we knew. And everyone BuzzFeed ignored it. That folks on the right, these folks in the white supremacists in the police department have just been allowed to do whatever they want to do. And even in the people that I talk to, like, they still say, I'm more scared of the left-wing protesters.
That's the thing. So if you want more information about the BuzzFeed article we were talking about, we have a video out from yesterday on it. But and that was going to be my follow-up question to you, is because you know more cops than me. How many of these sorts of attacks do you have to have before they get that, like, the right is the ones who end up killing cops? Like, and I'm talking about like sovereign citizen ambushes and the people who are boogaloo boys. Like, they want to kill cops. That's what they want to do.
You know the answer to all that. The answer is, it's because they kill cops. That's part of the two parts of that answer are, one, just this inherent white supremacist thing that we talk about nonstop on this network, rightly. This inherent, well, yeah, but like, I patrol these neighborhoods and it's all black people committing crimes. It's like, because you could patrol black neighborhoods, you patrol white neighborhoods, it's all white people committing crime. But they have that default where that guy looks like me, he's less likely to do something. But then also, like that police officer said, he's surrounded by a bunch of people with guns. The thing I'm terrified of is that the lesson we already learned about white supremacy, we know. But the specific lesson that these are armed people, and there's video, you know, we just saw armed people in the US Capitol. We saw armed people in the in Lansing. We saw them is that the capital? Is it Detroit? The capital of Michigan. We saw them there. There to kill Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
Like, they've done it. And it is because they have guns. It is because they have guns.
Yeah, and it wasn't the first time.
Because you start shooting, you're gonna die. And I hate the lesson that kind of implies, that everyone who's protesting should have a bunch of guns. That's horrifying. The police don't want that either.
And it's one of the big fears for the upcoming inauguration protests. Although I think that those are probably a little bit lower now that there's like 20,000 National Guard troops there. We had talked in the past about one of the men who were photographed on the House floor, actually. A retired Air Force officer who was part of the mob that stormed the US Capitol. You could be seen carrying zip ties. This isn't the person jumping over the barrier with the zip ties. This is a different guy with zip ties. He apparently wanted to take hostages. That's what a prosecutor said in court in Texas on Thursday. As Assistant US Attorney Jay Weimer said of retired Lieutenant Colonel Larry Rendell Brock Jr. Lieutenant Colonel, it was there. He means to take hostages. He means to kidnap, restrain, perhaps try, perhaps execute members of the US government. And as part of the evidence provided by that prosecutor there, he read in court social media posts from Brock, including one posted on the day of the riot saying, quote, patriots on the Capitol, patriots storming, men with guns need to shoot their way in. And this is, like, there are many, many varieties, many flavors of crazy that were there. This isn't just the, you know, like, former military flavor. This is former lieutenant colonel flavor, who wanted to overthrow the US government and went there to do that. He is, I believe, the one who was turned in by his ex-wife who saw him on TV, which is hilarious. I love to see that. But again, in his defense, he says he just found the zip ties on the floor and he picked them up to give them to a police officer. Quote, I wish I had not picked those up. Well, I'm sure that that part is true. He wishes that he hadn't been pictured with them at the very least. Men with guns need to shoot their way in so that I can get in and pick up litter and give it to the cops I see. I'm assuming that was the part of the quote that we didn't see, Brett.
There's so much here.
Again, what we're seeing here is part one, you storm the Capitol. That's step one, F around. Step two is, I wish I hadn't picked up those zip ties. That's the find out part. And they all of a sudden, they're far less watering the tree of liberty-ish once they're, you know, facing charges. But he was right. If that guy had had Mike Pence, what would have happened to Mike Pence that day if this individual had had him?
Well, yeah,
he wants you to believe nothing.
Right, but if I'm gonna believe what I heard, hundreds of people chanting, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to hang him in the gallows they had absolutely erected outside the Capitol building. But the thing I was speechless over is just the extent of the self-delusion and lack of self-awareness. Guys, when they get caught, they didn't think they were doing anything wrong. They don't think they're the terrorists. And that implies two things. One, how far detached from reality they are. How much of a social media or straight up militia slash gang bubble that they've put themselves in where they think they're righteous. And then two, the utter lack of empathy for other people who advocate for changes in the government. As I already pointed out, those are based in reality. These guys are, you guys are more crazier than you think the other side is because you are functioning absolutely in an illusion. So far from what's real, like, but the strangeness, how fast they must go from, I was just at summer camp where this fun exercise of overthrowing the US government is righteous to, oh my God, I was just there. There's a video someone uploaded of his wife. And in the video, the wife takes her mask off. She has a bandana and he's like, put that back up or they'll see you. And the reason I was able, and she puts it back up, he's like, I want to protect you. The reason that I saw that is because even still he uploaded that video.
Yeah.
Exposing, yeah. This is, and just like the utter security they feel in the, in what is actually an illusion that this is their country. And it's all, everything they believe, it's just for them and it's for no one else. That is what, when I think about the very moment that they may or may not realize that they have totally lost it. That is the realest thing I can imagine.
Yeah, and my final point, then we gotta move on because we got a million things. But I just want, like, in terms of your point that the detachment from reality, which is something that we've been talking about for a very long time, and how everything gets to be whatever you want it to be to make you feel good. You have part of the right who doesn't want to engage with what actually happened. They say it was Antifa that did this. The people who did it are saying, I shouldn't face any consequences because I wasn't trying to kill a cop. I was trying to kill Antifa. So Antifa is simultaneously the solution to all of their problems facing in all different random directions. Everything was Antifa. Nobody was, all that riot was Antifa fighting Antifa. The cops were Antifa, the media covering it's Antifa, it's all Antifa. Now it's a detached group of people and they have a media infrastructure that constantly reinforces them that this is the appropriate way to think about the world and to engage with the world.
Yeah, and when people on the right, even the toadiest of toadies in Trump's, you know, cabal, when they say, no, it was MAGA that did this, I was there. The state parties, the local governments, everyone that's trying to get those jobs is absolutely backing Trump and throwing all these people who had the gall to accept reality under the bus.
Yeah.
Under the magic tool bus.
I like that.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un*** the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Joe Biden has announced some of the details of what he would like the next coronavirus stimulus bill to look like. Now, remember, of course, this is his proposal. The Democratic Party in the House and the Senate is going to be obviously involved in this, but this is what he wants. Billed as the American Rescue Plan, the package augments many of the measures in Congress's historic $3 trillion coronavirus relief bill from last March and in the $900 billion legislation from December. His is at about $1.9 billion. And there is a lot to it. We're going to buzz through some of the details before we discuss. Let's jump straight to beefed up stimulus payments. The plan calls for sending another $1,400 per person to eligible recipients. This money would be in addition to the $600 payments that have already been sent out. We're going to return to that point a little bit later. Let's stick a pin in that and we'll focus on other elements of this plan. Enhanced unemployment aid boosted to $400 a week. Rental assistance at $25 billion and an eviction moratorium. $5 billion set aside to help struggling renters pay their utility bills. $5 billion to help states and localities assist those at risk of experiencing homelessness. $15 billion in assistance for small businesses. You have $350 billion for aid for states and schools. It's one of the big things that was left out of the last package. And then additional benefits like extension of food stamp benefits, childcare and child tax credits, tax credit extensions, restoration of emergency paid leave, and a lot of besides. And the details are all out there if you want specifics. But overall, it's a pretty big package. Like we said, we're going to debate the direct payments in a little bit. But overall, Brett, it seems fairly substantial, especially in comparison to what Mitch McConnell was willing to let move through the Senate not too long ago.
Yes, this is slightly bigger than what Trump said his package would include, but we never got any details on that.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Let's do it right now. And the $1.9 trillion is actually bigger than that because it piggybacks on the $600 that was already agreed to be given out. So what we have here is pressure from the left and in both establishment and progressives to get something more is for the people, period. As the Republicans are currently saying, well, more than half of the Republicans in Congress are still saying like, wait, let's think about November 3rd, because that is the date of the biggest tragedy in America. You have people to the left, on the left, saying, well, let's think of from the entire time since we passed the CARES Act to make people whole. And yes, this doesn't make them absolutely whole. This by some studies that I saw, they say that this kind of gives 83% of lost wages back, which is more than you would get from disability, essentially, by most disability or workers' comp kind of time off. So I like this bill and I think they should do it. And I think they should do it tomorrow, the 20th.
It's probably gonna take till later tomorrow, but yeah, it's got a lot in it.
But let me just say really quick, more stuff like this, and you don't need all the, you don't need to unify with all the psychos. More stuff like this. And that same group, so half of the Republicans are voting for Trump insanity, and the other half are like, no, we're going to certify the election, right? If you get everybody voting with the same, the at least non-completely detached and insane half of the Republican Party and the Democrats who are pushing to make people whole with a like saying, no, we promise this, we are delivering, here you go. If the more we can do that, the more we don't need to unite with the psychos who are rallying right-wing militias to go overthrow the Capitol.
Yeah, I agree. I think that right out the gate, this being one of the first big things they push for is, I think it's a good strategy. Can't be the only thing, but showing people that there is a direct one-to-one connection between replacing the outgoing government that didn't give a damn what happened to you last year with one that theoretically does is a good call. I would definitely push for that. But one thing that I find a little bit frustrating is the plan does call for investing $20 billion in a national vaccination program and the hiring of 100,000 public health workers for community health places where people get that. My fear is that they are still, like, we've had a complete breakdown of the vaccination program. I don't know if you've been following it, Brett, but a lot of the states are now discarding the pre-guidelines. The federal government has discarded their own federal guidelines and come out with new ones because it was such a debacle. I think it was New York said that they're about to run out of vaccines. Like the states were sent a big amount and then it was supposed to continually come out from there. They're about to run out. And then you have areas where they are sitting on stockpiles because they haven't figured out a way to actually give them out yet. I feel like this needs to be the national priority. And I feel like saying that should sound stupidly obvious, but doesn't. Like the fact that the Defense Production Act hasn't been invoked yet for vaccine production when states are literally running out of the vaccine seems crazy to me. And so I'm glad that there is money that's going into it. And I know that this isn't the only thing he's going to be doing when it comes to COVID, but this is the COVID focused rescue package. I feel like if you were going to go big on that, this would be a great place to put it. I'm just concerned that there is not, like, Biden is obviously going to care more and prioritize vaccination more than Donald Trump does. Donald Trump doesn't give a damn what's happening right now. But I feel like they don't get that we are literally losing between 4,000 and 5,000 people every single day now. And it's just considered the most normal thing in the world. Like, it's barely even making the news anymore.
I mean, yes, there's a lot of like linguistically fascinating things and it's the most normal thing. That's how norms happen. It's sad. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think we really need to wrap our mind around. Like right now, we are living through all that stuff that you learned about in history books about like significant historical events. This is one of them. And what's weird about significant historical events is as much as like movies are made afterwards about how harrowing it was every second of the day. Like, it just becomes normal. It just becomes normal because that's what a norm is. It's stuff that's just been happening for a while. This has been happening for a while, so you just grow to accept it. Like yeah. We, like T-Rexes, as human beings in Jurassic Park, our visual acuity is based on movement. So the more things stay the same, the less we like see it. And yeah. That's we're just like it's not getting that much worse. So we don't really completely accept it as being terrible, but
wait, how much worse would it have to get?
How much worse would it have to get?
That sounds like a meh comment to Brett. That's not what I mean. Let's actually gauge for like 30 seconds. How would it have to be 10,000 before people get freaked out? Because I don't know about you, but people at least in the area I live in, I know that's not a way to form a worldview. Don't seem freaked out. LA in particular, I saw an article that estimates 1 out of 3 people in LA County have already been infected at some point with coronavirus. And obviously a lot are literally right now. And people are 1/3 as visibly scared as they were when it was less than 1/3 as bad as it is now. Sorry if that sounded a bit, Bilbo-y, but you do the math. They're not freaked out enough.
I mean, it's one of those, well, if you want to engage with it more, there's people like me, not to brag, who are just like, this is what I have to do and I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's people like you who are like, this is what I have to do and I'm going to do it. The solution is simple for me, for, you know, that's the problem. The solution is simple for me. I know that I stay home and I have a job I can do from home and I can go to the supermarket when I need to do it. For other people, it's not simple. They don't have a job. They have to stay home. Other people, it's, I don't believe anything. So they go out and they think it's all a hoax. Maybe they think they've already had it, so they go out. And then maybe those people are out there and folks who haven't had it yet look and say, well, they're out. I guess it's not so bad. I'm gonna go out. It's this weird, like, I forget what the name of the phenomenon is, but when you think, oh, someone's getting beat up on the street, someone's gonna take care of it. There's enough of us watching. And
the mob mentality.
And no one does, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I've referenced that study before. It's one of the most fascinating things I think I've read. Biden is now pushing for $2,000 in direct relief. Sorry, a total of $2,000 in direct relief. We got the $600 in theory, and now $1,400 makes $2,000. And I need to talk about that because, as Cori Bush has pointed out, $1,400 is in some significant ways not $2,000. It's different. And AOC had said Dems should pass $2,000 on top of the $600 from December rather than adding $1,400. $2,000 means $2,000. $2,000 does not mean $1,400. And that created, if you were on social media last night, a massive back and forth. I briefly got into a tiny little back and forth with Bernard from Westworld about it. And Brett, I bring this up because this feels to me like one of the things where maybe we will really disagree. I feel like a reasonable person in the last 4 weeks, or however long it is since the last debate, believed that Biden and Warnock and Ossoff getting elected means new $2,000 checks. Am I in a bubble? Am I crazy? Am I being unfair? Am I being a D? What's going on?
It doesn't look like anything to me. That's just a reference to Jeffrey Wright.
I should have responded that, but anyway.
So that's funny.
He was not nice. Because he can go off on people. He didn't go off on me or whatever.
Yeah, because
I like him too much in the Bond movies to really engage with it. I just pointed out because he was attacking AOC over her comment that I just read. So anyway, but what do you think? This argument that they always meant 2,000 total.
I just don't buy that. I don't think people thought that it was. I think people. Okay, so my full take is it is $2,000, right? This, you know, 600 plus 1,400 is $2,000. That math checks out. And that's what I thought would happen as a result of this. The Democrats are like, by the end of this, you will have a $2,000 check in your pocket. Right? And that means through all of these negotiations, that $600 that was not enough, the Democrats were saying, we'll make you whole. You'll end up with $2,000 as a result of this behavior. So I think in my interpretation, what was happening, $1,400 plus $600 equals $2,000. That said, the rest of it is politics. The rest of it is you still have one side arguing for giving money to people to make them whole in a time when there is a hole in their financial world, like a gaping hole, right? Stop. So I will say also, like, how much a month does that net out to, even if you gave the $2,000? That's the big question total. But do Democrats absolutely have to give you the $2,000? Only if Republicans step up and make them, because that's the only, like, post-election block of influencers that have anything to do with this. Yeah. And they're not gonna do it.
So they're saying 2,000 total. The debate was between 600 and 2,000. And in the end, this gives you 2,000. And I get that. I'm really trying not to be an a-hole. But I also saw the tweets and I listened to the speeches. Let's go to a couple different references and see what a reasonable person listening to this would think is gonna happen.
We will be able to pass $2,000 stimulus checks for the people next week when we win these races in Georgia and get economic relief directly into the bank accounts of the American people who are suffering right now.
By electing John and the Reverend, you can make an immediate difference in your own lives, the lives of the people all across this country, because their election will put an end to the block in Washington that $2,000 stimulus check. That money that will go out the door immediately. Tell people who are in real trouble.
That sounds to me like if a person's like, hey, should I vote? They're saying they're going to pass $2,000 stimulus checks immediately. And also, so look, so we've had a little back and forth. I get it. I would also say you just won control of the Senate and the presidency. Just go bold. Like, we haven't even started the process yet and you're saying 1400. You might end up with 1400 because of how obstinate the Republicans are if you started at 2000. But yeah, again, they're pre-negotiating with themselves before the negotiation starts. That's one problem. The other problem is, do you want the first big thing you do to be this discussion about what you really meant and if it's 1400 or 2000? Why not just do the 2000? And plus, you just won. Show people that it matters. Plus, it's going to have been a month since the $600. Like, we don't just need the money we should have had before. We are still suffering during all of this time. More people are losing their jobs. More people are losing their lives. That's still happening. How about you like deprorate by giving us the 600 extra bucks for the extra month of suffering during the worst domestic crisis of our lives? I just think for all those reasons, this is such an unnecessary misstep, like before he's even inaugurated.
I mean, I agree. That's why I said, like, if we backdated for how much a month has it been since the beginning of this crisis, like, I think that argument is a good argument. I just think that, and it's being made. I just don't understand what everybody's like. I think you can both accept why they're saying $1,400 and advocate for $2,000. And I think that's what people are doing right now. What side am I on? Sure. I'm on the side of $2,000. It just makes more sense. Like, that $600, if we're doing like that numbers, it'll be a month, but that month was already even too late, you know? Mm-hmm. Am I for an on, you know, when, especially when folks, the high end of this negotiation is $2,000 a month recurring, according to John and Andrew Yang's basic income argument. But I just think for all the people who are like, why are we giving another government handout? I would point back to the beginning. The CARES Act was that largely, but for corporations, and that money's still ongoing and has been kind of re-upped. And this money for human beings hasn't. And it's more effective if you give money to individuals, they will return a higher percentage of that back into the economy immediately. And that immediately is even more operative now than before, because we need to get through this time before everyone has been vaccinated. Like that, the immediately is important. And this will inject money into neighborhoods because that's where people live.
Yes, exactly.
And that's how they spend it. Not like, we're going to do hire more people in one location. No, just get it in there, get it into people's pockets. Yeah. So I agree. I just think that I think it's disingenuous to be like that. It just makes absolute sense to me why they said $1,400 from a like mathematical. Well, we already paid six. What's the remainder? 1,400 from like from a political standpoint, it still makes sense to do 1,400. But
Why not say we're going to give you $200 because 2000 minus the 600 minus the 1200 you got a year ago. Like, you could keep doing that. Like,
they're not
saying 2000 after the 600 was passed. It wasn't just in the run up to the 600. They were still saying it after the 600 was out the door.
That's just a
anyway, we got to move on. We got a million other things to talk about. We disagree. You're wrong. Okay. Anyway. I miss you, Brett. We need to hang out. It's been so long. You want to know how petty members of the Trump family is? This is how petty they are. Since September 2017, the federal government has been spending $3,000 a month, more than $100,000 in total, to rent a basement studio with a bathroom from a neighbor of the Kushner family. Now, why would they spend all that money for this basement studio? Well, two law enforcement officials said the bathrooms inside the Trump and Kushner home were declared off limits to the people protecting them from the beginning. So Secret Service couldn't use their bathrooms. One official did not know the reason for this restriction, although I could come up with one or two that I think might be in their minds. While the other said it was instigated by the couple, because of course it was. Both spoke of the condition of anonymity because, you know, Trump's. Instructed not to use any of the half dozen bathrooms inside the couple's house. The Secret Service detail assigned to Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner spent months searching for another one. They had a porta potty for a while, as well as literally using the bathrooms at the former home of Barack Obama and Mike Pence, which weren't even close by. One law enforcement official said, "It's the first time I ever heard of a Secret Service detail having to go to these extremes to find a bathroom." So, like, we don't know exactly why they couldn't use it, except Brett, I feel like we know exactly why Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner didn't want to give up one of their six bathrooms temporarily to the people who are literally trained to take a bullet for them. They wouldn't let them take a number two, they were going to take a bullet for them.
There it is. I just want to point out that the SS in the lower third is Secret Service, because Ivanka will allow the SS from Nazi Germany. Whenever, just come on in.
I didn't see that
before. I know they're Jewish. I don't think that's absolutely true. So Ryan, wow. That's how friendly I am with John. I call him by my brother's name. So John, whenever he would get mad at me, he'd go, "Craig," and that's his brother's name. And I'm like, "Oh, Mark, oh, you really hate me right now."
Oh God. Can I needlessly, for the people who click on this video to learn about politics, I needlessly own myself. At some point in elementary school, I was taking a test and like we're all like focusing really hard and I had to ask a question. So I raised my hand and said, "Hey, mom."
Yep, that happened.
It's the worst. Anyways, okay, and so I've never forgotten it. Anyway,
John, yeah. I remember, talk about this later. So John, why do you think it is the reason that Ivanka won't let them use the toy?
There is only one explanation, and it's they don't want the peasants pooping near them.
Oh, no, that's not it. There's two reasons.
There's another?
Ivanka and Jared each have a very real reason that I don't think enough people are acknowledging. The reason that they won't let the Secret Service take a duty in the toilets is because Ivanka's poops are so atomic that there's always a smell from her atomic poops. So this happened, this is from the very beginning, because they tried cleaning the toilets with air freshener, they got the poopery, they got the plug-ins, and still, John, still her poops are so world-ending. It's like a mushroom cloud of mushroom and pepperoni, like you can hear it from right by the vice president's house. That's why they send them away. So that's Ivanka's reason. It's because she makes it smell so bad. Jared's reason's different. Jared has this very rare condition psychologically where each time he poops, he needs to put a little in each toilet. So he'll squeeze out. He'll squeeze out a little in the first one.
Does he have a perfect like reticulating thing that can pinch off like whenever he wants? Is that what you're saying?
Reticulating, it's actually called. And so he'll do a little bit and get up, scurry. And that's why he can't have the SS there, the Secret Service there. He has to
catch him mid scurry.
Well, he just needs to know that the toilets are open. He needs to know that they're open, because what's he gonna do? Poop in one toilet each time he goes to the bathroom? No, it's Jared. He's a little bit, and that's the sound he makes. And he gets and scurries to another toilet. That's why he can't let them do it. And it's actually selfish of the Secret Service. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. That's one
shaming
way I would.
What it is?
Well, it's selfish.
A good American.
And that's one way I like to describe all people who would give their life for someone else. Selfish. It's selfish of the Secret Service. The secret they need to keep is his pantoiletalism. He needs to poop. You know how there's a there chicken in every pot?
Yeah.
There's last night's chicken in every pot for
There's a perfectly spherical chicken in every pot.
Blah.
Okay. Almost took my earbud out for a little bit there. I think that's good. I think we covered that news about the first family. Donald Trump has been impeached twice. Once for trying to coordinate with a foreign country to manipulate our presidential election. The second for trying to overthrow our election by sending an armed mob into the Capitol. These are very serious crimes. They're not his only crimes that he could have been impeached for. They're not even necessarily the two out of the top two that I would have impeached him for, but they were significant. Biden, on the other hand, might be impeached for, I don't know, whatever, because now we've got new Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has rubbed her brain cells together and come up with this. On January 21st, the first full day of the Biden administration, she's going to impeach him. For what? Well, there's video. We're not playing it for you because I like my audience. So here's what she had to say. I would like to announce on behalf of the American people, we have to make sure. So I'm reading her quote. You have to imagine that there's a bunch of Q paraphernalia behind me. But anyway, we have to make sure our leaders are held accountable. We cannot have a president of the United States who's willing to abuse the power of the office of the presidency and be easily bought off by foreign governments, foreign Chinese energy companies, Ukrainian energy companies. So blah, blah, blah. So she believes a whole bunch of nonsense. But what's interesting about the nonsense, Brett, is that she doesn't think that they should be able to convict Trump after he's president anymore, but she's trying to impeach Biden for things he did years ago as vice president. So she's slightly undercutting that argument there. But anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene, we're trying to immediately impeach him for whatever. What do you think?
He's inaugurated on the 20th. Why wait? He's on the 20th. You're wasting taxpayer time and money by waiting a whole 12 hours. He's inaugurated at noon. Snap, snap. Get to it. Noon on the 20th. Do it right now. You left out like a lot of the bonkers stuff that she said. Her argument for this after her nonsense goesies backsies, but no goesies forwardsies argument is is she touched blue, make it true. Like that is how she's arguing. And constitutionally, that's her argument. But her argument is, she goes on to say something like, it is insane to it. I shudder to think that there are people who are so disillusioned with our country that they would be so afraid of a Biden presidency that they would storm the Capitol and commit violence. Mm-hmm. That's her argument, is that not. These people are unhinged because I am currently fanning flames of a BS, jeopardized election security argument that's already been disproven in all 50 states and by the Congress. It's nothing about that. It's all about they're nervous about Biden because of something with a laptop in Burisma.
Yeah.
And then even that argument itself is like, well, Donald, if you're talking about nepotism, selling people out, like Ivanka, you're doing business. She secured a bunch of patents in China. You've got Jared going around negotiating all your Middle East stuff. Like it's all in the family there. What's your argument?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, I know that some people were saying in advance of Trump being impeached for a second time, well, this is going to set a precedent where they're just going to impeach for everything. I don't know why impeaching for inspiring a violent insurrection now opens up the gates for everything. But I want to reassure you, if you actually believe that, they were going to do this no matter what. Like she believes that satanic pedophiles eat children and drink their blood so that they can absorb their life force. She's not bound by reason. It wasn't like, well, if they were more polite to Trump, I would have engaged in a good faith effort to legislate with President Biden. No, they are bringing conspiracy theorists directly into government. It's no longer like the Republicans in government have to go on Fox News and like reassure everyone that they believe the conspiracy theories. They're choosing in primaries based on how crazy these people are. They're going to try to impeach Biden every day for whatever. It doesn't matter. Nothing Biden does or doesn't do is going to affect that. So like we unfortunately have to deal with her because she's a congresswoman right now, but don't allow your evaluations of the utility of providing legal or political consequences for anti-democratic behavior to be affected by what might or might not be done by people who are literally amongst the craziest individuals in our goddamn country.
And yeah, like you said, if Q is the prophet, then this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. All the stuff that Q was saying is BS about like global cabals of pedophile demon people. But all that stuff he's saying about there being people in the government who will take arms against it and take down everyone. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, those folks ended up in the government to quote, take down a cabal of pedophiles. It doesn't matter, the pedophiles don't exist. But you have people in there. Now that's the most scary thing. And for their BS arguments, Andy Biggs, who's the head of the whatever caucus, he said this rhetoric, he talked about Don Lemon saying that Trump voters are on the side of the Klansmen. He's tweeting, this rhetoric will not bring more unity and healing to the nation, only division and discord. Dude, you planned the riot. Mm-hmm. He's one of the three in the Congress who essentially planned this rally, which it had the intent of going to the Capitol building. Yeah. You did that. And talk about unity, you're not allowing the president of the United States to be elected democratically. You're looking for an autocrat. None of your arguments hold, none of them whatsoever. And they don't need to. Yeah, they just want to feel good. They want to feel right and they want to have power. And it's nuts. Because it used to be you just had like the Ted Cruz's who were grifting and like, oh, that's what they're saying. I want to be the head of that. Josh Hawley, oh, that's what they're saying. I want to be their person in Congress who says they're advocating for it, but still never does anything for them, but just maintains power. But now you have actual crazies like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert in frickin' Congress advocating for themselves.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. And who are definitely true believers. Hawley and Cruz, you know, they'll say they believe whatever you want them to say they believe. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is just as crazy and just as dumb as she presents herself. She's got at least half of that in common with Louie Gohmert. In the closing days of the Trump presidency, I know a lot of people have concerns about what the state of the White House might be afterward. There are reports going around of Joe Biden spending tens of thousands of dollars to clean it out and all of that, considering that every single person who served in the White House had COVID at one point or another. But what about the actual furnishings and everything? There's some disturbing video going around. Take a look at this during the beginning of moving days. So two things. One, I guess there's literally just a camera that's permanently streaming on the front door. But anyway, that was a bust of Abraham Lincoln that's like more than 100 years old and that is not owned by Donald Trump. Now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen to it, Brett. It is possible it's being sent to be cleaned or something, but I don't know what is going to happen. What's going to be left in that room, in those rooms? What might be added to those rooms last minute? I know that this is always a concern as transitions happen, and very often baseless conspiracy theories have sprung from it, but it's weird to see the Lincoln bust go out the front door.
Well, obviously he's stealing it because Trump values keeping the union together and wants a symbol of that with him forever. As he tears the union apart and rebels against the Constitution of the United States to create some Trumptopia somewhere. My guess about this is when you take the Oval Office, you get to like pick the five things you want in it. And maybe this is one of those things that they're just gonna circulate out. Like there's no evidence of this. Like the thing of this meaning anything. There's three people taking it out. Maybe Trump doesn't want any reminders that there are like presidents who care about maintaining the sanctity of the union and the Constitution. Maybe he wants that out of his face. Like maybe as he's saying like to people, don't show me any of the impeachment stuff. Don't mention Nixon's name. That's another rumor going around that if you mm-hmm. mention Nixon, he just throws an even bigger tantrum. He doesn't want to see Abraham Lincoln. he doesn't want to hear the vowels O-I-N. He doesn't want to hear any of the vowels in Joe Biden's name. Doesn't want any of that. But my guess is this is probably either something that was somewhere in the White House that needs to be moved. But it, like many viral videos, it is a symbol of how people are feeling about what's happening in the world. And this is something that reminds us that Trump is so crazy and unhinged that we don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to burn down the White House on his way out? Is he going to try and steal like memorabilia and hang it in a Trump golf course somewhere until he loses the lease? Who knows?
Yeah. We put onto it whatever we take into it. We don't know. If in the end they stole the bust, we'll find out about it. But you do have to pump the brakes because, you know, what did they lie about? Was it about Clinton or Obama that they stole all one of the letters off all the keyboards or something? There are crazy things that are always said. That said, this isn't exactly the same on a personal petty level as the transition from Clinton to Bush or Bush to Obama or Obama to Trump. Trump is, in all of those interpersonal ways, all those personality characteristic ways, he is worse than anybody. So something's gonna happen. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying don't trust everything that you read, and that video doesn't necessarily show what it seemed to be showing. Something's gonna happen.
Here's the most John explanation I could come up with. This kind of I hope you would like. It's not something you'd come up with, but I here's what I think is happening. On the flip side of the Constitution, if you hold up a backlight, it has an incantation, or the Gettysburg Address, it has an incantation that you can chant that brings Abraham Lincoln back to life with superpowers. But up until now, they hadn't like every bust, everyone knows this, every bust sculpture has somewhere else a body sculpture that if you reattach it and do the incantation, it comes to life. Mm-hmm. They, in preparation for the violence from neo-Nazis and more specifically, Confederate revivalists, they are taking every precaution. And yes, maybe it's because I just watch every Marvel movie, but they are going to bring back a superhero version of Abraham Lincoln that's 6 meters tall to protect the Constitution and Joe Biden against the insurrectionists.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. I would pay extra to stream that early. It is the end of the week, and so it's time to take out the trash. I've got some garbage for you. My garbage person of the week is someone who my gut says, we don't have numbers on this, my gut says might be the person I've most often put in the trash. And this person, I try not to every time because I hate talking about this person, because this person is not just awful. For every bit awful they are also being it purposefully in a very dishonest way. Like it's a thing that they're doing, so I don't like engaging with it. But sometimes the garbage stinks so bad that you just have to get rid of it. And so my garbage is Tucker Carlson, seen here demonstrating, well, you know. So he's trash and he's going in the garbage today. Why? Because he decided that in the wake of this horrible murderous violence at the Capitol, an event that could have led to any number of our elected representatives, mostly Democrats, but some Republicans as well, being killed, that if you were scared during that time that you might be one of those in the Capitol building that were killed, he thinks that that's hilarious. And here he is attacking Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
This happened. Therefore, you've got to hand the worst people in the world the keys to your life. See how that works? As if you needed more evidence that it's all about what's good for Sandy Cortez and her friends, and not about what's good for you, because nobody cares about that. Watch her new position, her revised position on defunding the police. This is from the other day.
Many of us nearly and narrowly escaped death. There were members of Capitol Police who were quite heroic. You know, we have many officers and, you know, there was it. There were also black and brown officers that were confronting white supremacists and putting themselves not just to protect members, but they put themselves in harm's way.
Narrowly escaped death. When the most harrowing thing you've done in life is pass freshman sociology at Boston University, every day is a brand new drama. Sandy's heart is still beating fast. But she likes the cops now, despite the fact they're white supremacists. What a difference a day makes. And Sandy Cortez is not alone. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley.
Okay, so look, it's not going to come as a surprise to anyone in the audience that he's absolute garbage. And there's no standards for anything, let alone on Fox. But if there was any justice, if Fox cared at all about their reputation, his career should be done after that. A congresswoman made a video about the fact that she was almost murdered and he mocked her viciously, contemptuously, making up a name for her, because why not? Just call her whatever you want.
Sandy.
Mocking her in that way is insane. That was utterly insane, that entire thing. That's what a guy who makes like 30 million plus a year devoted his news hour to, was mocking a woman who was afraid that she might die. And we're going to walk through a couple different aspects of this. But the overall thing here is there are few people in the country who do more work constantly on a daily basis to whip people into a frothing hatred of AOC. There are few people who have contributed as much to individualized hatred and desire for violence against her than Tucker Carlson. And so that's the first part of the grift. The second part is when people actually act on it, you then get to mock the people who narrowly escaped the mob that we have to assume loves everything that Tucker Carlson says. They mock her. She was very right to be scared, to be afraid. We're finding out, obviously, as we knew at the time, Capitol rioters meant to capture and assassinate officials. That is what some of them wanted to do. And so he's mocking her for being thankful that the cops protected her, pretending that she's ever called for the complete annihilation of all cops, which is literally obviously, and he knows, not a thing that she's ever called for. And he is saying now, by effect, that all of the cops who protected those individuals, led them away, the cop who was beaten to death, F them, because that wasn't a serious attack. A cop was just beaten to death by something that isn't serious. And he has said that since then. It was not an insurrection. This was not a big deal. There was nothing racist about this, nothing white supremacist about this. This was not a big deal. Sure, a cop got bludgeoned to death and other people died and dozens of cops were injured. And at any other point, he would use that to complete, like, forget, you don't even have to think about this entire movement. But with her, no, totally fine. It's totally cool. And we're gonna point out a few other aspects of hypocrisy on this. But Brett, I've been talking for a long time. I want to let you get in.
Sandy Cortez. That is insane that he calls her Sandy Cortez. So I have no idea where that came from. Benefit of the benefit of the benefit of the doubt is she went by Sandy at one point and then was like, no, I want to be Alexandria again, which is my freaking name. And he wants to call her Sandy Cortez to dehumanize her and then do it, which is a very like racist. No, you're not a person of color. You're Sandy. I would come up with a ridiculous, stupid name for Tucker Carlson, but his name is already a ridiculous, like bow tie that, you know, has a social security number name like Tucker. You've got to be kidding me. Swanson, bro, Tucker Carlson. And then also, you want to talk about complaining about not near death experiences? Didn't you do a whole segment about how the New York Times was gonna dox you when they never did and never were going to? Yep. And you're like, and you did a whole segment. I'm in, my family's in danger. I am gonna, and then had in, you know, people in his audience ended up doxing the reporter.
Yeah, and he lied about the attack. He said that they like broke down his door. People took photos of the door afterward. There was literally no damage. There was a protest. There were some people who were across the street from his house. That's what happened. And he pretended that this was the worst thing that has ever happened. But a literal band of crazy conspiracy theorists roaming through the halls, killing people. If you thought that was dangerous, well, then you're Sandy. And it's funny. Why are you freaking out? The worst experience you've ever had was passing sociology. Yeah, AOC hasn't lived life on the rough streets. Tucker Carlson has. He literally has spent his entire life wearing bow ties. And he's telling other people that they don't get to claim that their life is difficult. I have no doubt that as I'm saying this, AOC is receiving death threats and rape threats. It must be constant.
Listen,
and he's criticizing her.
Tucker
no,
Carlson.
Really fast. Hold on. One more second, Brett. One more thing about Tucker Carlson. I have, like, there are people who will go on Fox News to get the progressive message across. Bernie Sanders did. I get that. There are other people who claim that you can do the same thing on Tucker Carlson, and I have long disagreed with that. But like, this is who he is and what the show is. If you go on his show and it's not to talk about this, to attack him for this, to attack the constant racist like incitement to violence that his show is, there's no valid reason. This is who he is, this is what the show is. And it's not just him. And it's not just the writer that he had to jettison after we found out that he had spent literally years writing racist comments online. This is what his audience wants the show to be about. They tune in for a 1 hour hate against AOC and Ilhan Omar. They were transitioning to Ayanna Pressley. Ayanna Pressley's husband has COVID now. Ayanna Pressley is immunocompromised. She could die, her husband could die. We don't have the rest of the video for you, but I guarantee it wasn't sympathetic. He is there to give old white people license to hate black and brown people. That's all the show is. And to get them to continue to support a white supremacist fascist government with the occasional set dressing of, I say the ruling class once every 3 months. That's what the show is. And we all know that. Everyone in the audience knows that. Everyone has shows like this knows that. If you go on his show to chase clout, you are supporting that. That same racism, that same fascism. Let's be very clear about that. That has been true for a very long time. But with every passing show that is this vile racist garbage, it becomes more and more undeniable. Sorry, Brett.
No, I'm with you. Just the idea that he says, like, she's never had anything more harrowing than passing a sociology test. Well, she just was in a building that was invaded by terrorists who said they wanted to kill her. And she's always gotten those. But like for Tucker Carlson, I watched him make a joke about Antifa, and in his attempt to call everyone else elitist, he made like a Sag Harbor joke, which I didn't even get. I don't know what it is, but he made like an elitist joke about it.
I don't know what that was.
He's talking about like, he's also, it's just so frustrating because even before she was in Congress, he's made fun of her for being a bartender, for having like a blue collar job. He's so against blue collars that there was like an entire situation in the 90s where he wore those like blue shirts with the white collar in it. Like, that's Tucker Carlson. He's that guy. She was he's a Swanson heir. He's a gajillionaire. He's been doing a show from his palace in the sky, pretending to be
multiple palaces,
pretending to be on your side. How can anyone watch Tucker Carlson, the floppy haired, you know, millionaire and with H-E-I-R at the end, and think that when he advocates for real people, he ever cared about real people? He doesn't. He never can. He can't. He never will. That is pathetic and disgusting. Calling her Sandy. Ugh. Are we past? When can I stop saying?
If she, really fast, if she had died, he would have done some other mocking thing. Like, oh, you're freaking out because one person died. Yeah, well, you know, other people died some other time. I know that even some people probably agree with me generally, probably think that I'm going too far. There is no line. There's literal no line. If members of Congress had been killed there, they would have run defense for the terrorists that night. They did it anyway with the cop that was killed. Like, literally, he doesn't care that a cop was beaten to death. You think he'd care more if a Democrat was? Anyway, we're done. We're not talking about Tucker Carlson anymore.
My garbage person is Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville is the former coach of the Auburn football team, which makes him the perfect candidate to become a senator in the United States. He did a recent interview with CBS 42, a local affiliate, where he said a lot of ridiculous things, and we'll get to the worst in a second. But here's the first thing he said. Well, we got the worst pandemic of my lifetime, and we're worried about impeaching the guy who's only going to be there 7 more days. Hopefully they wake up and smell the roses. That's not what that saying is. And I've never heard this one, but I'm sure it's real. Wake up and smell the coffee. Smell the roses is when you enjoy things. I don't know why we're running this rabbit down the hole. It's not going to go anywhere. And it's like, oh, what do you mean? What is your analysis on why this isn't going to happen? Senator Tuberville. He said this. We probably could have a swearing in and inauguration later after we got this virus behind us a little bit. Again, we're talking about Washington, D.C., so essentially they're not going to do it. No, no, no. We have an inauguration on the 20th because it's in the Constitution of the United States of America, you dumb, flaccid dilder. So here's, we're going to skip to the next graphic, number 4, that's like, this is from the 20th Amendment, Section 1 of the Constitution. The terms of the president and vice president shall end at noon on the 20th day of January, and the terms of their successors shall begin. That's in the Constitution.
Super clear.
Like, couldn't be more clear. That's one of the many things in the US Constitution that he doesn't know and doesn't care about. And this is someone who is like, I'm gonna object to the process of approving these vote counts. He was the first one, to step up and say, I'll challenge it. I don't care. I'm gonna go for it on fourth down. Hell yeah. Run the rabbit down the hole. That's not the only thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you remember when Michael tried to appeal to Joe by saying folksy things like she was and he couldn't get it right? How many weird folksy analogies is he gonna stuff into one statement about how he hasn't read the Constitution?
That's an office.
You could have read it. It was an office. You could have read it in that time rather than saying all of that stuff.
But this guy is going to
be it's going to be a time with this guy and the things he's going to say because he ain't going to learn. Nobody ain't learning at this point.
There are so many people in these positions of power. Like, we've all worked those jobs where you look around and you're like, how are you in charge of anything? You don't know how this job works. You don't know what the functions of it are. I've had to, in previous jobs, had to run things by people who have no clue, no frame of reference, and no interest in doing it. They just want the credit for it going well and for people to like them and keep them in that job. That's Tommy Tuberville. Here's the last thing that I want to add that drives home in the same interview. He says, our government wasn't set up for one group to have all three branches of government. Wasn't set up that way. You know, the House, the Senate, the executive, those are not the three branches of government.
It's also philosophically not
even remotely true.
You could make a case like they preferred. No, but that's not the three. And the same thing happened with either Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, the two. They like just ask every one of these what the branches of government they have. They have no clue what they actually are. They could get one of the amendments right, probably, and I could guess which one. And that's probably about it for knowledge of the Constitution.
The three branches of government were set up to offset if those get taken over by the same party. And even then, like, he doesn't know anything, man. What if your linebacker showed up on game day and had no idea what a defense was? Tommy, would you run that rabbit down the hole? Moron.
And they don't, but they don't care. Like, they don't just, someone being intelligent in general, let alone specifically about the Constitution or government or philosophy or whatever, they don't care if the people that they're putting in office are really, 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 really dumb. And that's not good, I don't think. I think that generally being intelligent can be helpful when it comes to government. Anyway, very good garbage person, Brett. For our community garbage person, 23,000 of you voted on the community tab on the YouTube channel. And this week, we had our bottom three are very close. Our number 5 garbage person for the week at 10% of the vote are the maskless GOP Congress members for infecting their colleagues. That gives you an idea of how bad this is gonna be that they get number five. Number four and three tied, Jim Jordan and Mike Pence. Jim Jordan for continuing to perpetuate Trump's lies, Mike Pence for not invoking the 25th Amendment at 12%. Number two, whoever wrote Trump on the back of a manatee, I think it was carved into the manatee at 25%. That's not the worst. Well, number one is Lauren Boebert at 41% for tweeting Pelosi's location during the siege. That is bad, and she's gonna get worse. If this is where she's starting, can you only imagine what conversations we're gonna be having about her in a year? I don't know, the person who carved Trump into the back of a manatee, that's pretty bad. I feel Florida, that deserves to be in there.
Florida man versus Florida manatee.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to everybody who voted.
Yeah. My manatee jokes are, someone might have confused it for Trump and just put a name tag on it.
No.
And
don't say that. What?
And a tattoo artist might have confused it for like someone who just wanted a Trump tattoo. Because that's.
Oh my God.
It's so bad. It's horrible. If you want to have a good day, go look at videos of manatees grazing. Do yourself a favor. It's just chomp, 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 chomp. And
sea cows. Well, Brett, thank you for all of that, minus a bit of the poop stuff, but thank you for all of that, Brett. Great to have you on as always, and I look forward to talking to you on our production meeting call in like 6 minutes.
Three.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.